encouraging. It's always encouraging when you know that I'm coming back the next week and you're still here anyway. Junior church, you are dismissed. You know where you're going, I hope. The guy in the back can tell you if you don't. That way, okay. So as they leave, I just want to tell you about the eventful camp that we had, the events we had at the camp this week. Hopefully, we'll attract some of your young people to our camp this summer. We are clearing brush and getting things in order. We had our inspection and we passed that. I think I had you praying for that. We passed the inspection with very minimal, up marks, yeah. Very minimal marks, and then we also passed the fire inspection as well, which that one we weren't too worried about. We weren't really worried about any of them, but it's still stressful when you have those. And so we thank you for that. I did spend another week in the pollen and in the smoke getting the camp ready. So if you hear me clearing my throat, don't worry. I'm not sick. I'm not going to make you sick. It's just all that, okay? And we had a good, busy week. Was out cutting up logs yesterday, actually, getting some work into my muscles. And so here we are. We're thankful. Now, we have missionaries with us today. Being a missionary, being someone that's raised support, I just want to highlight this for you. You know, you can give them a little something on the way out. It's all right. And actually, I don't want to do this to bring myself glory, but I want to do this just to show you how easy that is, all right? And how much they will appreciate just the help. I mean, there's an expense to come. There's an expense to go. There's meals. There's all kinds of stuff. I don't know where you're housed, where you live at, or anything like that, but being out on the road can cost a little bit of money. And so I know the church will probably do something for them. I don't know. Anything about that, but I know normally you do for us, and so I would encourage you to meet these people. God's got a call in their life. They are responding to the call, and it is God's people that will get them there. Okay, God works through His people in that way, and that's how our ministry has been the same way all the time. So I just want to throw that one out there for you. Among all the other things that I could say right now, I want to start off with, is my verse going to come up? Can I have my verse up? He put it in, yes, that one. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And I'm gonna present this verse today as an ancient soundbite, right? We live in a world of soundbites. Now, I want to ask right off the bat, are there any cavemen in attendance today? No cavemen? Good. So I shouldn't offend anybody if I say, you're one there. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. If this offends you, I'm deeply sorry, but I really need this illustration. It's so easy, a caveman can do it. What am I talking about? Geico, insurance. Yes, exactly. So easy, even a caveman can do it. We live in a world of soundbites. And this is Paul's soundbite to us for today. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. So coming off of our sermon from last week, our verse was Philippians 1:6. The key verse for that was being confident of this very thing, he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on, and we're going to bring some things out after I pray, and he gets to verse 21, and he says, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. It's a summary statement that we need to remember and apply to our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for every opportunity we have, and especially this one today, to hear your word, to respond to your word, Lord, to even respond to the call of the missionaries that are with us today. Lord, we just pray that as you work in our lives, that we would not be afraid to work in other believers' lives, Lord, and then to carry that out to the unbelievers that are around us. Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I'm going to try to make basically 4 points for you today. And we're going to point them out along the way, but I'll list them right here so that if you're taking notes, you can kind of jot them down and have them. So prison did not stop the spread of the gospel. Envy and strife did not stop the spread of the gospel. Death does not stop the spread of the gospel. And hardships do not stop the spread of the gospel. And so coming from the verse that Paul says, and he says confidently that that God started something in you and he's going to continue it until either he comes back to get us or we go to be with him till the day of Christ. He's going to continue to do this work. And then in verse 9, he breaks into a little prayer for them with this expectation in mind. He says, is there another light here somewhere? There's not. Okay. He says, starting in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Love abounding. He's praying for them, for their love to grow and grow and abound, right? That is a work that is in, that is, God is doing in the believer as we start, okay? And as we grow closer and closer to the Lord, our love can abound more and more. All right? In real knowledge of God's character. Because what is God? God is love. Thank you. That helps. I appreciate that. God's character is love. And in all discernment, a true sense of God's direction. So he's not just making a prayer here of, you know, like, oh, let's just love one another and all that. No, there's a purpose and there's a plan in this love. And it's God's kind of love. Not that we can perform it completely accurately like God does, but we have attributes of God's character within us as saved people, and we can practice those until we get better and better and continue until Jesus Christ comes and we're with him. Verse 10, "That you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ." And there's our reference back to verse 6, till the day of Christ, right? Excellence, godliness in all things of life, right? Not godly on Sunday, worldly on Monday, or maybe, you know, you're very righteous and you're godly until about Thursday afternoon, then Friday and Saturday, kind of not so much, right? That just open and honest, I did live my life like that for a while, right? But that's not godliness, okay? Blameless, so without accusation. I left one out here. Insincere, authenticity in your walk with Christ. Being sincere. Okay, and then verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. The fruits of righteousness. Love, joy, peace. You know that verse? That's coming up later in the book, right? Fruits of righteousness, which Christ impacts people's lives, letting Christ impact people's lives to the glory and the praise of God, right? So even the motivation, we talked a little bit about motivation and state of mind, and we're going to talk more about that as we go forward, that we are trying to be Christ-like, that we're trying to live to give God the honor and the glory, to let him or help him or allow him, don't quench the Spirit, allow him to work in our lives to grow us in this way until the day when we're with Jesus. God says, this work has started in you, and here's some things that I'm going to pray for you about. And these are things that Paul, no doubt, already had experienced in his life. Paul, you know, saved on the road, the light shone. Who are you? I'm Jesus, the one you kick against. And his life was changed right there. And he had to grow. He had to learn. He didn't become Paul the Apostle in 30 seconds there, right? There was a whole, we read it in the Bible in a very short couple paragraphs, but in life it was probably 12 or 13 years that Paul started learning and growing and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And then we come, so that prayer is very important. I didn't want to skip over that prayer. I was really actually hoping to get that prayer in last week, but I ran out of time. But that is Paul's expectation as they grow. That is something that they should be open to. He's praying to God that they would receive these things, that they would see these things in this way. And then he goes on to verse 12. And Paul starts with, I want you to understand. Now, in my version here, I'm reading in King James. You can read it in whatever version. I just use King James because I'm old. And that's what I've used all the time, right? But he starts off, but I would ye understand, brethren, okay? I want you to understand that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, keep this in the context of what we talked about last week when we went through Acts 16. And we thought about some of the things Paul will remember. No doubt there were more things that weren't recorded that Paul remembered, right? But we know these things that were recorded, that he suffered there, he was thrown in jail there. Remember, there was a big earthquake, all the shackles fell off, but they were still there. They impacted the life of the Philippian jailer. He had troubles and trials. He was beaten, right? He remembered all that stuff, and he says, I want you to understand about those things, the things that happened to me, which have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places. Paul is now writing, we talked about this last week as well, this is one of the prison epistles, writing from a prison in Rome. And the gospel message is spread to the Praetorian Guard, to the guards that guard him, to the people that operate in the, want to call it the White House, the house that they use, the place where their government resides. The gospel has been penetrating into those people. Okay? Excuse me. So these things that happened to me, all this stuff that happened, and why I eventually got thrown into this jail was not from the trials in Philippi, but from trials in other places. And Paul went back to Jerusalem and was arrested and sent to Rome. This came out to the furtherance of the gospel. And many of the brethren, this is verse 14, in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. All right? Now, here's kind of the picture. Pastor John has gone somewhere, right? I hope he's having a great time on vacation. Say he's somewhere and he shares the gospel with somebody. And in this, maybe he went to a place where the gospel is not very well received, and they say, you can't do that here, and they throw him in jail. Right? This is your pastor. What's your response? You're going to talk about that. You're going to respond to that, right? You're going to try and figure out how you can help him physically, right? And you're going to be telling everybody around here, it might be on the news even, local pastor arrested for sharing the gospel. And people will start talking, right? So boil this back down, and of course, John will be the one in prison, and John will be the one who is suffering, but can we think that this situation is turning out for the furtherance of the gospel? I think, you know, a little bit of thinking about it, we can get there, right? It's not hard. Obviously, we don't want to see somebody we know persecuted for the gospel, but when it happens, and it's going to someday, I mean, maybe not to John, but to somebody in this room possibly, right? Get persecuted for the gospel, and people are going to start talking. And things are going to start happening. And even us, as, you know, relatively calm, law-abiding people, there's a point where we're going to get up and we're going to go down to City Hall. Right? There's a point where that's going to happen. Remember in Acts when Saul was persecuting the church and he went after Stephen and they killed Stephen, and then the Bible says that the church scattered into many lands. Right? The persecution of the church in Jerusalem, instead of stopping it, it spread it out to the surrounding cities and areas, into Samaria, into Caesarea, into Antioch, right? And beyond. And so we have to realize that this prison stop did not stop the gospel. In fact, it helped the gospel. And in fact, Paul has an audience that can't get rid of him. Right? And people are getting saved, and the guard, the Roman guards, are becoming Christians. And they're talking to other people. And you know what? I mean, to me, might be just me thinking, it might be a little more likely, if I know that the police are not going to be against me, to accept the new idea. Right? And the guards are going with Paul. And the people are saying, whoa, I guess I'm not afraid of the guards. Maybe I'll listen to this some more. Maybe I'll hear more. Maybe I'll make a decision for myself. Paul did not see this as a hindrance. He saw it as an opportunity. And actually, we talked a little bit about that last week when we were going through Acts 16. They sang while they were in jail. And nobody, the other prisoners, the criminals that were there, didn't leave. They were captivated by what's going on, by God and what he was doing through Paul and Silas into that prison. And then we see it come out as a gospel presentation to the Philippian jailer, and people were saved. And probably, I mean, it's very plausible, some of the other prisoners as well. We don't know that, but it's very plausible. So there's something about controversy and debate that stirs up action, right? And right now, this is a season where that's happening, right? It's election year. Controversy and debate, stirring up action, different things going on. I'm not going to get political with you. You know what's going on, right? The illustration is people are talking. As we get closer and closer to November, more and more people will be talking because of that, right? So this is kind of a principal thing that we can know, that when something happens, people get fired up and they get going. Okay? It's kind of like when you're going to go to some famous restaurant somewhere. There's a hot dog place in Chicago. And it's famous. I can't remember the name of it. It's not famous with me. But we're going to go there, and Fran put it out on the internet. You know what? People started saying, get this dog or get that dog. I really love that place. Get this one, get that one, you know. They want to help you decide what's best. And for us, we want to help people decide what's best. We want to share Christ with them. Get this one. This one will save you. This one will bring you peace. So, for me to live as Christ, but to go to prison for it, is gain. See my soundbite. How this is going to work. For me to live as Christ, but to go to prison for it, is gain. Something's going to happen. Envy and strife don't stop the gospel. In fact, they enhance the opportunities. There are those who preach for the right reasons and those who preach for the wrong reasons. Here's verses 15 through 18. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So people have different motivations. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing that those afflictions will go on my bonds, like they're going to bother Paul somehow. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, I will rejoice. You know, Paul rejoices either way because the gospel is being preached. And if we share Christ, we obviously want to do it for the right reasons. But I will confess, I did this, okay? I guess I don't know why I did it. A Jehovah's Witness came to the door, and like I just didn't want to take the time. And I just started blurting out the gospel because I knew that they would leave, right? And I did. That wasn't the right way to do it. It wasn't the right motivation to do it. You know what God did? It actually was at the gate in our at our house in South Africa. You know what God did? Tied me up in a long conversation with this person. Yeah, amen is right. I mean, they didn't get saved, but it was a fruitful conversation from me to them. Wrong motivation, but God used it, okay? Paul's saying, I don't care why you're sharing the gospel. If you're sharing the gospel, God can use that, okay? If the pastor's arrested, you get mad at the police and march on the police station to preach Jesus and forgiveness, whether they like it or not, they're standing in a line there, you just start screaming the gospel at them. Not the best way, but they're going to hear the gospel, right? Maybe a Christian movie that, you know, all the theological points don't line up. But to the world, you know, at large, it brings them closer to thinking about God and exploring the Bible. Okay? Not all bad. Right? There are some good things there. Here's one. There's another personal one for me. Okay, I like country music, but I don't like rap. Okay? You can have your own taste, and if you like rap, I'm not against you. That's fine. Fran and I were in a series of rallies in South Africa as sharing in those rallies with some staff in South Africa that did rap. And I'll confess, after I heard it several times, it was a little bit catchy, okay? I'm not going to say I liked it. But I saw what it did in those kids' lives on, you know, right there at that time. It opened their hearts. It opened their attention. They were ready to hear the gospel when they were done. And so I need to recognize that every way that I would share the gospel, every way that I would do something, does not mean that that's the only way that it can be done. All right? Now, there are some things that can't change. You can't change, you know, the parts of the gospel is the gospel, right? The method of delivery, we can do that, okay? Can you do it in a country song with a dog and a pickup truck? And I'm sure somebody's done that. I don't know. But it could be done, right? Because we know Isaiah 55:11 says, my word be that it goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, that's God, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Okay? So, here we are, envy and strife, wrong motives, different things like that, are not going to stop the gospel. For me to live as Christ, but envy and strife towards me is gain. Right? For me to live as Christ and to die is gain. Envy and strife doesn't stop the gospel. Death does not stop the gospel. This is where he's actually writing this verse. In fact, death can enhance the gospel opportunities. Here's verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's verse 19 and verse 20. Because Paul maintained his testimony, no matter what was going on around him. Again, think back to that jail in Philippi. He maintained his testimony. I might have been grumpy. I don't know. Thrown into the deepest jail and shackled. I might have been grumpy. I don't know. That's never happened to me. But Paul wasn't, and Silas wasn't. They sang. They praised. Right? No matter what happens in a trial, this model prisoner is a sterling testimony for his captors. Right? Those people that are locking you up are watching you. Are you different than all the others? Do you have something that all the others don't have? And that something would be Jesus Christ. And once you establish that you're different, that there's something in you that's different than something that's in all the criminals that are there, then they'd be inclined to listen. Because it's different. It's not normal. Paul had nothing to be ashamed about before the Lord, but there he was in prison, in Rome. He says, God will be honored either way, in conviction and execution. He's saved from his sins, and he'll be with the Lord. Paul will be fine. Now, the process of getting dead, that probably hurts, right? But he'll be fine, okay? And if he's acquitted and saved from that, well, then he'll be free to go ahead and minister some more, share the gospel. Paul has an overriding Christ focus. Paul has an overriding Christ focus. How can you have peace in the midst of a storm or a trial in your life? With an overriding Christ focus. How can you get a cancer diagnosis and not go off the rails? With an overriding Christ focus. You follow? Here we are. For Paul, for me, for Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul's a winner either way. Again, the process of in between, that's a problem. We just got to trust God for that. You can tell what I'm worried about, right? I hope it doesn't hurt. But it's an ancient soundbite for us. No matter what we're going through, no matter what has happened, for me to live as Christ, I'm going to continue to minister, I'm going to continue to fellowship, I'm going to continue to worship, and to die is gain. Well, then I'm going to do it with Jesus. All right? We are concerned about those we leave behind and all that. This is a sin-sick world, and there's always going to be that downside, right? But here is an overriding Christ focus that can guide us through the times that we go through and can help us be a witness while we're going through them. Paul is not focused on the good of Paul. He's focused on the glorification of Christ. And imprisonment is just one more way God is using him to spread the gospel, which is easy to forget. We say, well, Paul's in prison and he's sharing the gospel anyway. Anyway, this is an opportunity. This is something that God put before him. It's not an anyway. Wherever you end up, well, I might as well share the gospel because here I am. No, this is an opportunity that God gave you. It's not an anyway. It's an opportunity, a golden opportunity that God has given you and that you can grow through, that you can impact some person's life with, that you can be a part of what God's doing. And how thrilling can that be? Like, I'm really doing something with God, right? It's God's power. It's God's work. God has to make this happen. But look, he's using my mouth. Can you get excited about that? Right? He's not just saying this by putting on a happy face and biting his tongue. This is how he feels. The sincerity rings clear in verses 23 through 24. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? I wot not. I don't know. What shall I choose? What's better? I don't know. They're both great. There's good options here. For I'm in a strait. I'm between a rock and a hard place. There's six of one and a half a dozen of the other. I don't know what to do. If it was up to me, I don't know what to choose. Not really up to us, but
Here we go. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Right? I get to do more ministry. Sometimes we say, I have to do more ministry. That's an anyway. I'm still here, so I guess I'm going to do this. No, I've got the ability to talk. I have Christ in my heart, and I have a mind that can communicate. I get to do some ministry. This is what Paul's saying. I get to do more. But if I go home to be with the Lord, that's fine. I'll do more there. These are not the words of a desperate man. We need to understand that very clearly. Paul's just not making up stuff to make people feel better. The struggle is in Paul. If he lives in the flesh, he can minister to more people. If Paul is executed, he is personally with Christ, but that's going to trigger a whole lot of events that are going to bring people to Christ as well. More preachers will preach. More people will share testimonies. More people will investigate why Paul was willing to die. People will investigate why were you willing to be fired for standing on a biblical principle when you could have just said whatever they wanted you to say and kept your job. Because God knows. Right? Both arguments are fruitful for the cause of Christ. And then it continued to help them grow and mature, and emotions were running high. Hardships. Okay, so the third one is the actual verse. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And then hardships do not stop the gospel. In fact, they enhance the gospel opportunities. The Philippian passage, Paul believes there is still time. He thinks that he's going to get away from this prison sentence. He doesn't believe he's going to be executed now, but he's still in prison. He still has to go through his trial. Verse 25 and 26, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of joy and the joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. I'm going to get out of here. I believe I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to come to you again. We're going to be encouraged. We're going to go on. We're going to do more stuff. His personal hardships are for the spreading of the gospel, for the rejoicing of the faith, for the confidence in Christ. Think about people for a minute and think, well, Paul's been gone for a while and he comes back. We're going to be happy to see him, right? Or Paul's been gone for a while. He's been in prison in Rome for 2 years or 3 years or whatever it was, and now he's out and he's coming back. What's going to be the difference in the reaction as he comes to visit you? Well, one is, we haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. The other is, wow, what did you go through? What happened? Tell us the whole story. We want to know. We're happy you're back. Let's go do something. Right? It fires people up. For their rejoicing of the faith and their confidence in Christ. Prison didn't hinder Paul. Trials become opportunities. There's a girl in our home church that when she was 5 or 6, Fran, she got saved at your dad's funeral, something like that. She was a young girl. We still know her today. And when we see her, we just feel glad. Because it was the opportunity of her father's funeral, Fran's father's funeral, where this girl heard the gospel the time that she responded to it and got saved. And it brings us joy. It fires us up, right? And her, she's still living the faith. She's doing a great job. I have an aunt who died of cancer. And we visited her in hospice. And we were talking with her. And, when people go into hospice, they kind of get frank, right? They kind of get to the point. And she told us, through her cancer and being in hospice,
she's had the opportunity to witness to more of her family than she ever did through her whole healthy life. And that was her observation to us, that we would continue and that we would go on and do more, even though her road was coming to a close. She was thankful. Get it? She was thankful that she got to share Christ with some of her family that didn't know Christ and wouldn't let her talk to them about that before. What changed? Their attitude, because now here she is in this condition, this situation, and she's still talking about Jesus. Where maybe they were expecting, where's this Jesus now that you're dying? I don't know what they were expecting, but that would be one thing, right? But there she was, still confidently talking about Jesus Christ to them as if it's important. It's not in any way, right? It's important. It's a positive. And so, for me to live as Christ and to endure hardship is gain. This soundbite just keeps ringing and ringing. We can turn the test into trust. Do you believe God? Do you believe that you're called according to His purpose? If you do, then what's going on is for your good. Romans 8:28. We can turn the test into trust. And we can turn the hardship into happiness. Okay? Happiness is not Christmas presents and birthday presents. It's fulfilling your life before God and knowing, believing that when you go to see Him, He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's peace. That's happiness. That's what we strive for. Paul did not stop the gospel. He shared it. You know, you get arrested. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. Right? I learned that on TV, not in person. Okay? Okay, you do have the right to remain silent, but you also have the right to talk. To talk about Jesus. Right? Now, I'm not saying go out and get arrested. But if it happens, wow, I don't know how Jesus is going to bless me in this, but let's go, you know. I know there's going to be a blessing here somewhere. Hey, do you know Jesus? Have you ever trusted Jesus? Do you know that He died for your sins? You're locked in their car. They can't do anything with you, right? Paul realized this, and he grew, right? He was Saul. He became Paul, and everything changed because of Jesus and his focus on Jesus. And his life turned around. We're all sinners. And we all need forgiveness for our sins. We've all missed the mark. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. No matter what your sin of preference is, it's a sin, just like mine is. As humans, we rate them. And we think some are worse than others, but any one of them separates us from God. And each of us needs to make a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to turn our focus from ourselves and from the world to a Christ-centered focus and receive that gift. And when we do, our lives will change. Not overnight will we become wholesome, right? But the Holy Spirit will come with us and begin to help us and shepherd us along the way so that we become more and more like Christ on a progressive basis throughout time until He comes. He starts a work in you right there at the point of salvation. And then He works until Remember last week's verse, until the day of Jesus. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's very simple. Believe in your heart and tell Him. Confess with your mouth and you'll be saved. Best way that you know how, just talk to God. Say, I'm sorry for my sins. I know my sins are separating me from you. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, and I want you to save me from my sins. And teach me your ways. And just finish it with thank you, or amen, or something like that. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have, for the time that we spent around your word, for the example of Paul, who, you know, to use a cliche, turns lemons into lemonade. Lord, we're thankful for this soundbite, something that we can remember for me to live as Christ. I get to serve more and to die as gain. I get to be with you. Either way, it's exciting. And Lord, we just pray that we can move our minds to that mindset where we are that selfless person who's a humble person and who lives in the unity with the Holy Spirit to serve you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.